back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. I got the Phillies on the little screen of my iPad, so I'm doing some split screen action here with the Phillies, and then my NHL app for our news that we have to start with tonight. Other than that, just another day, another dollar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. The Phillies are doing much better than they did yesterday evening. Last time I checked the score.
Well, they're still losing right now.
Last time I checked, I saw Castellanos hit that 2-run home run.
No, they gave up a grand slam. It's 5-3 Seattle, bottom of the fifth. So, they're within striking distance, so to speak. But I mean, giving up a grand slam in the first couple innings of any game is never good.
Who's pitching tonight? Who's the starting pitcher?
Taiwan Walker was on the mound. He just got pulled for Luis Ortiz, who's in now.
Yikes!
So.
Oh, brother. The pit of misery never ends. The Flyers end, and you think the Phillies are going to be good, and they're just not it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, April baseball is always kind of crappy.
Yeah, the Phillies, and they're notoriously slow starters, too.
Yeah, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt for the next 5 days here, and hopefully once May hits, they'll turn on the Jets. And, I mean, I think... We're also apparently a baseball podcast now, but
we must be.
I believe Bryce Harper is very much on track to make a return within the next probably 4 weeks.
It's even sooner. Some people are thinking he's back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to get it wrong, so I'm just giving myself a cushion for error there. But I was going to say 2 weeks, but I didn't want anyone to be like, well, actually. I've heard 2 weeks as well, but no, I mean, it's... Hopefully that's definitely a big boost for him. And then I know Ranger Suarez is also slated to start a reconditioning stint in AA, I believe, or AAA. And they want him to get a handful of starts under his belt so that he can come back and obviously be a tool in the Phillies' bullpen because, I mean, Lord knows their pitching has not been as good as it should be so far this season. So, I don't know. I mean, between Harper and Suarez coming back, hopefully that gives this roster, a nice morale boost and they kick it in the ass and, we start playing some good baseball.
Yeah, we need it.
I would say better baseball.
Yes. Dollar Dog Night was a success, though, last night.
Oh, yeah?
You were not kidding about the lines. As soon as we got into the ballpark, we went straight to a line right outside our section.
Yeah,
and we didn't get to our seats till this start of the second inning, so we missed the whole first inning. But got the dollar dogs. Didn't get anything else to eat the rest of the night. Enough Phillies.
Yeah. We got hockey to talk, but precisely. Before we go into the midst of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we do have one. I don't want to call it a shred. That's not very nice to say, but one topic of discussion. Yeah. For the Flyers, pertaining to the Flyers, where it was officially announced on Monday that Justin Braun was retiring from the NHL after 13 seasons. According to NHL.com, the 36-year-old defenseman had 199 points, 34 goals, and 165 assists. In 842 regular season games and 16 points in 119 Stanley Cup playoff games with the San Jose Sharks, Flyers, and New York Rangers. He had 7 points and averaged 21 minutes and 23 seconds in 24 games to help the Sharks reach the Stanley Cup final back in 2016. Braun was quoted saying, I want to thank my wife and parents and kids for everything they did for me throughout my career. My wife being there while I was on the road, taking care of the kids, every guy I played with, an absolute honor. The article goes on to say that Braun was selected by the Sharks in the 7th round of the 2007. I don't know why I say that all the time. 2007 NHL draft. He played 9 seasons in San Jose and is 5th among Sharks defensemen with 607 games. Current Dallas Stars coach, but former Sharks coach, Pete DeBoer said, quote, "I loved him. Talk about a guy who carved out a career just playing a simple, steady, hard game. Great teammate, great husband and father, funny guy. He was a real pleasure to coach and probably played longer than maybe his skills allowed him to because of all the intangibles he brings to the rink as far as leadership and taking care of himself and being a good teammate and all those things. Fantastic career from a guy who wasn't handed anything. Late round pick. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for him." This past season with the Flyers, Braun had just 2 assists in 51 games and alluded it to being his final game after the win in Chicago, which was the Flyers' last game of the season. Braun was quoted saying, "It didn't really hit me until Provorov scored in overtime. That's it. It was an amazing run, a tough day, but a great run." Braun's teammates pushed for him to get 1 point to reach 200 in the NHL and even had him on the power play for the first time all season. Travis Konecny said, "Everybody loves Bronner. He's got a dry sense of humor, one of my best buddies on the team. We play cards almost every single road trip and every flight. We're going to miss him." And, I mean, they did him a very nice solid beforehand. He was talked into taking a solo lap before warm-up, and the Flyers even had his father, Paul, on the bench during the third period to replace John Tortorella. So that was a really cool touch by the team. But no, I mean, Justin Braun, obviously, again, I mean, we ragged on him in the past for being kind of a traffic cone out there. But I mean, it seems like, again, as a teammate and as a person, he's such a great guy and a great locker room presence, a great veteran player. But just, I think, again, he, you know, as these guys do, he kind of, his skills wore down, and, you know, obviously bodies wear down as well. So, and with the speed that he had, I mean, he just kind of, you know, just didn't really have it anymore. And it's tough to kind of, I'm sure it's tough to kind of notice that yourself, but, you know, seeing it through our eyes too, where it's like, damn, this guy's getting old, so to speak. But, no, I mean, a guy that, you know, like, you don't hate him or anything like that, but again, he was never really like a standout dude in my opinion. But, you know, I mean, he's played 13 more years in the NHL than I ever would. So I mean, kudos to him for a great career. And just, again, being a great teammate and a great person, and, you know, good luck in retirement, Justin Braun, and we were happy to have you on the Flyers for as long as we did.
Yeah, Justin Braun, a hell of a career. You know, he was always, in his days in San Jose, he was a top 4 shutdown defenseman. That would give you maybe 20, 25 points in a year. But he was really good in that role for a while. And he was arguably, if you look in the history of the San Jose Sharks, probably one of the better defensive defensemen to play for that franchise. He started to decline. The Flyers acquired him. And frankly, that first year here in Philadelphia, the year of COVID, he was deployed properly. He was a really good third pairing shutdown defenseman. He did his job super, super well. Where Justin Braun got into trouble was when the following year, when Matt Niskanen retired, the Flyers couldn't find a partner for Provorov, and they stuck Provorov with them on the top pair. And while it worked at times, you could just tell that Braun couldn't really, he didn't have the ability and the body and the wherewithal to really be a number one pairing defenseman anymore. I mean, he probably did it a couple times in stints with San Jose when he was in the prime of his career. Yeah. But he couldn't do it here anymore. So oftentimes the Flyers were misusing him in their top 4. Really, I feel like this year was the second best year the team utilized him than the year where, you know, last season he was up and down the defensive pairings and traded to New York. They brought him back this past off season. You know, he was, you know, only in 56 games, you said, Master, this past season.
51.
So, yeah, 51. In and out of the lineup. And when he was in the lineup, he was playing on the third pair like he should have been. And frankly, you know, he wasn't getting embarrassed out there. He was doing his job. He was a solid penalty killer. He was decent 5-on-5. You know, he was the type of defenseman up and off the boards and up and off the glass and out.
Yeah.
Like, I got my man, you know?
Yep.
He was a hell of a player. I'm pretty sure he represented Team USA in the Olympics, I think, once.
I'm not sure.
I think he might have been on that 2010 team, maybe. I want to say he is, but I also could be totally wrong. But no, he was a serviceable defenseman for a long time with the National Hockey League. It's a shame he never got a cup.
Yeah.
And again, you know, brings back the quotes of probably why a little piece as to why Chuck Fletcher got fired, because it was even brought up how John Tortorella said, you know, I'm really disappointed that Bronner didn't get traded to a contender, just like yep. JVR. So I'm sure Justin Braun, he's a smart guy. I could see him being back in the game as a coach or a scout, some level involved of hockey, whether it's with Sharks or the Flyers. I don't really see him having any ties to the Rangers, considering he was just there for a cup of coffee in their playoff run last season.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if you hear his name being tied to the San Jose Sharks in some role in the nearby future. Hell of a player. Never was pretty, but he got the job done, and he played 13 years in the best hockey league in the entire world. So kudos to Justin Braun. Enjoy retirement, sir. You have earned it.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of earning it, actually, we're going to go right into our Stanley Cup playoff updates, where obviously these players have to earn their way to through the playoffs and through the gauntlet on their way to a potential Stanley Cup. But Dave, we are in the, I guess I would say, latter stages of the first round here. Only two games tonight. We'll kind of start with these, I guess. We'll start with one. We'll kind of go like we did last week and go through the East first and then the West first. Not first, but West second. But the two games tonight, there's currently the Bruins and the Panthers playing in game 5, with both teams tied at 1 in the midst of the second period. Boston is leading the series 3-1. So, I mean, Florida's on the brink, as they say. And then the other game tonight is the Seattle Kraken against the Colorado Avalanche. Also game 5 with that series tied at 2-2. So a little bit of a surprise there, Dave. But, you know, we'll start things in the East here with this Bruins-Panthers series. What I'll say first is I feel like it's going almost exactly how we thought it was.
We're just geniuses.
Yeah, I mean, tonight could be the end. It could not be. If Florida, you know, pulls a win out and forces a game 6, but it would be no surprise if the Bruins take care of business tonight in 5 games, and you know they're on to the second round here, because I mean, they've been without Patrice Bergeron up until tonight, and he made his return to the lineup tonight. But I mean, again, even without him and a couple other kind of key players for the Bruins, they've been able to, you know, take care of business and get themselves to a comfortable lead with a 3-1 series lead here and looking to close it out tonight and maybe get at least, I don't know, I guess, depending obviously on the Toronto-Tampa series, which we'll get to here in a second, but a good, I don't know, maybe at most 5-6 days of rest.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. And also, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but what did Alex Lyon prove in this series? That he's just an American Hockey League goaltender. That's all he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's still a professional athlete. But he's not good enough to be in the National Hockey League. The Florida Panthers are getting outclassed at every level of the sport. They've gone back to Sergei Bobrovsky in net. I mean, right now it is a 1-1 game. Like you said, halfway through the second period or so, as we record this Wednesday evening, the 26th of April. So, I mean, Boston, they were trailing 1-0. They tied the game up. We'll see what happens. But as of right now, knocking on some wood here, we are on track to be correct about the Bruins defeating the Panthers in five games. And I personally, out of all the series I paid the least attention to is this one.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know what? Florida, in my opinion, stinks. And Boston's an absolute wagon. And Boston should be taking care of business. And except for that one game, which was game two, I believe, that Florida kind of stuck it to Boston. I was like, well, Boston's going to respond the way that Boston does. And lo and behold, here we are. They're up 3-1. So yeah. Hopefully we, by the time everyone listens to this podcast, either later this evening or tomorrow or this weekend, the Boston Bruins will have vanquished those pesky, empty seater Florida Panthers.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But
I have to get as many digs as possible as I can on the Panthers. I have this innate hatred for them.
That's okay. You're allowed to have your opinions. But speaking of 3-1 series leads, we move on to our next one in the East with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. This one, this one has been nothing short of just plain old entertaining with, I mean, teams trading lopsided wins in the first two games. And then it looked like, Toronto's won the last two.
Yeah, so yeah. Toronto's up two games. Toronto's leading the series 3-1.
Yep.
Game one was 7-3 Bruins. And like we addressed on last week, I was like,
Lightning.
Oh. And it, not Bruins. Jesus. 7-3 Lightning. And then we were like, oh boy, Toronto's in it. But then the next night, or not the next night, but game two, Toronto responds by then defeating the Lightning 7-2. So you have two blowout games. And then in games three and games four in Tampa Bay, it looked like in both games, Tampa was going to take a stranglehold on this series.
Yep.
They were outclassing Toronto. But like Biz said on TNT this weekend, Toronto said, call an ambulance, but not for me. they've just completely shocked the Lightning in stunning fashion. Precisely. Didn't even realize I did it until you called it out there. But two comeback wins. They came down from two goals in game three, three goals down in game four, both to win in overtime. This series has had it all: high scoring, entertaining hockey, chippiness, attitude, big hits, you know, chirping, whatever you want in a hockey series. This has had it. And now the Toronto Maple Leafs are on the cusp of advancing to the second round, getting their first series win since 2004. Now, granted, this thing could still very well easily go seven games, and which is what I predicted it would originally go.
Yep.
But the way Toronto is playing right now and how they just had this stick-to-itiveness and they've shown this grit against Tampa Bay, they haven't had in years prior, as my wife flips me off because she picked Tampa Bay to win our bracket pool, and hopefully she'll be proven wrong.
Let's go, Bolts.
No, go, Leafs, go. Sorry, honey. I just think, you know, there's something different about this Toronto team. Now, that being said, if they collapse and blow this series in seven, it'll be up, same old Toronto.
Yep.
But I really think, Matt, before I get the talking stick here, if this was the same Leafs team the past, they would be down 3-1 right now. They wouldn't have come back and won those past two games in Tampa Bay. So we'll see what happens. But that game five is tomorrow evening.
I believe it's in Toronto as well.
It is in Toronto. That's must-watch television if you're a hockey fan.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's just gonna be it's just funny talking about it because, like, I'm not excited for Toronto, but, like, it's also like, oh, like, you're like, it could finally happen, like, kind of one of those things. But it's like, I mean, again, they're mostly if they do end it tomorrow or at some point where it still could be game seven, it's like, then, I mean, again, unless they have another, like, unless they have an entire, like, coming of age sort of thing, they're still going to be running into a buzzsaw of the Boston Bruins in the second round.
Yeah, but,
But and, also, that could make for a hell of a series.
Yes, how they're playing. This is like the way Tampa's playing right now. If Toronto advances, it's a really good warm up for the Bruins because they're playing very similar styles of hockey.
Yeah. So I mean, first things first. Obviously, they got to win one more game.
Yes.
I don't want to get like for their sake and our sake. We can't get ahead of ourselves.
That's
here.
That's been Toronto's biggest enemy the past couple of years. Is just win that one more game.
Yeah. This will be perhaps is the key word.
Perhaps.
The biggest first round advancement in the last 20 plus years.
Yeah, literally 20 years.
Yeah. So, it ain't over until the fat lady sings, as they say. But I mean, it's got to be. I don't know. Like again, I would love it. I mean, who doesn't love a game seven in the playoffs? But
it's the best thing ever.
A game seven with the fate of the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization on the line. With, as we've said, I mean, Kyle Dubas's job, Sheldon Keefe's job. The entire roster, for the most part, is kind of could get blown up or like shuffled around. So I mean, there's obviously a ton at stake where it's like, and it could, I mean, it could very well happen too. Where if they do make it to the second round and they have some sort of collapse in there, it's like, all right, like you made it one step further than you have in the past 20 years, but still have nothing to show for it. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like I've said before, I mean, anything short of winning a Stanley Cup for any team is a failure of a season. So, but I mean, hell, we celebrated like hell when the Flyers made it past the first round. So
damn straight we did.
You take what you get at this point, I guess. And I'm sure Maple Leafs fans will still be ecstatic to make it to the semifinal, of the Eastern Conference. But no, I mean,
I feel like if they do advance though, Matt, that will give Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas a little bit more rope for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know if it'll necessarily be a stay of execution, but it'll be, like you said, a little bit more rope for them to work with. But, I mean, again, only time will tell. It'll be, again, must-watch hockey tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I believe, on ESPN is game five.
It's on TBS. Hold on.
Yeah, it's on TBS. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see if the Leafs can exercise their demons or if, you know, Tampa will just continue to strike. So
a lot of their deadline moves are paying off. Like Ryan O'Reilly has been awesome these playoffs.
Yeah.
So is Luke Shen. Jake McCabe's been a little bit shaky. But really, Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly have been showing their worth. And also their young college rookie they just signed from Minnesota, Matthew Nyes, Arizona native. He's been phenomenal and taken Michael Bunting's spot in the lineup. I mean, this Toronto team, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. we'll find out.
We'll see, man. But moving on to our next Eastern Conference matchup here, we have the Carolina Hurricanes leading the New York Islanders 3-2 in their series with game six slated for, apparently it says, says TBD, but it says Friday at 12 p.m. So I assume that's correct. I don't know why it says TBD next to the date, but it has the day and the time. That's weird. But
yeah, just it's to be. I guess they haven't figured it out. Yeah, there's a couple of the games for Friday aren't the only game that's set with a time would be game six for Colorado and Seattle in Seattle.
Yeah, that's weird. But I mean, regardless of that, Carolina, I mean, I think obviously the better team seeding-wise, but the Islanders are a team that, you know, don't go away quietly. They play their own style of hockey. They had
pestering,
a strong
annoyance hockey.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the Islanders organization or anything like that because they just play boring hockey, and, you know, I always kind of have not liked them anyway. But, no, I mean, hopefully Carolina, you know, closes it out and they get that six games. I think we both predict six games for that series as well.
I'm pretty sure I said six or seven.
Six or seven is what it's going to take at this point. Yeah. So
I think Carolina might need to make a change in net. I mean, Antti Raanta, I don't know. I mean, he's played well, but like last game, he didn't play that great. And they've got this young Russian stud and Peter Kochekov.
Yep.
And I think he's the real deal. I think they have a franchise goalie there. And maybe, you know, he was unreal for them when he came in the playoffs last year. Maybe they go to him for game six.
Yeah.
But it's been a good series.
I haven't watched much of it, but from what I've seen, it's been pretty evenly matched. And, you know, I mean, again, a 3-2 series is always a good series, like you said. And we'll see again if Carolina can close it out on Friday afternoon is a weird time for a playoff game. Like,
I feel like it'll probably be like Friday evening.
Yeah, at least make it like Friday, like 5 or obviously 7 is a good time. I don't know.
It's in Long Island, right? Game 6?
Yeah, but it's both Eastern time.
I can't see them doing like a 5 o'clock. It's got to be like a 7 or 7:30 or even an 8 o'clock start.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's just interesting that they have it listed as a Friday at noon start right now. But our last series here in the East before we move out west, we have the New Jersey Devils against the New York Rangers. This has been a hell of a series so far. The Rangers took a 2-0 series lead, but the Devils have fought their way back to tie the series at 2 games apiece.
The home team can't get any win in this series.
Yeah. The past couple games have been the Jack Hughes show where he's very much come alive, and obviously the Devils have as well behind him as a team to get this series knotted up at 2 games
apiece. And this random goalie the Devils are using, Schmid,
yes, yeah. Dude, it's been unreal. Like, yeah. I think he'd only played
5 or 6 games. He only had like a small cup of coffee this year.
I think he had a few more than that. I think he had like I think he has 12 or so overall in the NHL. I could be wrong though, because I remember watching game. It was game 3, and then they were talking about how I think he came from the USHL, and then he's played. I think he started 12 games in the NHL.
So he played in 18 games this year. He went 9-5-2 with a .213 goals against average and .922 save percentage and 1 shutout.
Gotcha. But no, I mean, again, this has been a hell of a series. Obviously these teams are within, what is it? I think both arenas are within 20 minutes of each other across the Hudson River. I was listening to Missing Curfew and Sean Avery was on it most recently, and he was like, yeah, the Rock in the Prudential Center is an absolute dump. Like, I mean,
oh, it is.
You look at Prudential Center compared to a place like Madison Square Garden, like that's apples to oranges right there. Like,
I mean, Madison Square Garden's a glorified subway station. Let's be real here.
Yeah, but still, it's, I mean,
I know. It's one of the most famous arenas in the entire world, and it is on my bucket list to go view a hockey game there if the tickets would ever be a reasonable price.
I've been there, humble brag.
I'm not a big deal.
But no, I mean, this has been a great series. I mean, again, I wish both these teams could lose because I really don't like either of them, but just the entertainment factor and the good hockey factor of this, to see these two teams go at it like they have, and a good overtime goal from Dougie Hamilton with, like, the odd, like, no celly that he did and just kind of, like, skated around the, like, just kind of did a half lap. I don't know what that was about, but I don't know. I was just like, oh, like, you just ripped a top shelf goal in an NHL playoff overtime. Like,
and you got nothing.
You're just going to smile and skate around. Like, that was weird. But, I mean,
the guy likes museums. He's pretty boring.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, again, I think we both said that this series can go easily 7 games, and we have game 5 tomorrow. I mean, we'll have hopefully two good games tomorrow for the East with Tampa and Toronto at 7 on TBS, and then we have ESPN2, we have game 5 of the Rangers Devils at 7:30. So a lot of good hockey tomorrow, and you know, we also have a couple of the West Coast games as well. So actually just one West Coast game, it looks like. Yes.
Yeah, this Rangers-Devils series has been everything I thought it was going to be. I'm surprised that, like I mentioned, it's been the series of the Road Warriors. No home team has gotten a victory. The Rangers really came out, and at first, the way they played the first two games at the Rock, I thought they were going to sweep the Devils. The Devils were atrocious. They were really bad. They make this move to put Schmid in net, and the dude's phenomenal. He's got like a .966 save percentage. He's got like a .6 goals against average. like unreal stats in two games played. But we'll see. You know, this is a pivotal game five. You know, whoever wins game five sets themselves up to win game six. So we'll see a trend. Do the Devils finally become the first home team to get a win in this series? Or do the Rangers keep the trend of the road team getting the dub? We'll see what happens. But very, very good and fun hockey games to be paying attention to right now.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously we'll stay with that theme with the fun and good hockey here as we move out west to our Western Conference series. We'll start with the Colorado Avalanche against the Seattle Kraken. And Dave, I'll kind of throw it over to you here first, but any surprises here that this series is tied 2-2?
Yes, because I picked the Avs to win in five. I, and along with a lot of the hockey world, I think, underestimated the Seattle Kraken. They are actually playing pretty well. That pesky Dave Hackstall. God, I hate that man so much. No, I mean, the Avalanche haven't really played like the Avalanche. They are hurt. Valeri Nichushkin's missed the past two games. Obviously, they're missing Gabe Landeskog. They've had a lot of players return from injury to come back, so maybe they're not 100%. But, you know, and Alex Gorgiev needs to be better in net. Like, just straight up facts. I'm surprised they haven't made the move to Pavel Francouz in net just yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it really has been Seattle at times to just dominate the Avalanche. And when the Avalanche remember who they are, they turn it on, they look like the Stanley Cup champions that they are. Kel McCarr just have a one-game suspension for his hit on Jared McCann the other night, which I think was completely dumb. I personally think that was a hard playoff hockey hit, and that the two-minute minor penalty for interference or boarding was plenty. Yeah. But the Avs, like I saw a stat on Instagram today from an Avs profile that I follow. There we go. The Avalanche are like 16-1-2 without McCarr in their lineup. So it's like, okay. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, the game five's tonight in Denver.
Yep.
The Ball Arena is almost called the Pepsi Center, which is what it was its old name, but now it's the Ball Arena. You have to think it's going to be rocking.
Yeah.
I really think that if the Avalanche do win this game, I think they do win the series in six. But props to the Kraken fans. That arena, that atmosphere have been awesome in Seattle for the first playoff berth. So, Seattle, I'm earning you some props. You put up a better fight than I thought you'd be putting up. So's Philip Grubauer. And he's got some, you know, he's got a bone to pick with the Avalanche. They literally got rid of him. Mm-hmm. In the year they got rid of him, you know, they won the cup. So,
yeah.
I get where he's coming from, and I'm surprised. But hopefully my Western Conference Colorado Avalanche can pull out the dub here this evening to go on and then win this weekend. So, come on, Avs.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been closer than obviously we've thought and a lot of people have thought, where Colorado being the powerhouse that they were in the playoffs last year, it's a little bit of a different story this season, missing Landeskog and now just again, you know, kind of losing their identities at points, like you said, but then when they were like, again, like you said, remembering who they are and what they're defending in the Stanley Cup, you know, like kind of giving their balls a tug, as our guy Shorzy would say, and you know, remembering that they are the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Remember, I was gonna go with Mufasa saying "Remember."
Oh well, I went the more PG-13 route there, but no, I mean, I think again, it's feasible that this could go seven games with the way that Seattle's playing. I mean, they're not
very well up
easily, and they're not, you know, they're not rolling over like people thought they would. And I think it was game four over the weekend where I remember just watching it, and like it was game three or four. I was kind of like, because I remember like dozing off on the couch, and
game four was just the other night.
It was 4-1 Colorado, and then I like doze off of the couch on like for 5 minutes, wake up and it's tied, and I'm like, what the hell happened? But Yeah. No, I mean, it's been, again, great hockey between both teams, and Seattle's been obviously one of the biggest surprises franchise-wise in the playoffs this season. But, you know, game five, again, being tonight, and whoever gets that edge could kind of, and again, you get the momentum in the series going into the next game. So we'll see what happens. But our next series in the West here, perhaps the most scratch and claw series, no pun intended, with it being the Minnesota Wild. But the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars have just been kicking the absolute crap out of each other throughout this series so far. Dallas does lead 3-2 in the series with game six. Again, this says it's Friday at noon, which is weird. So I guess that's still TBD.
Yes.
In our eyes, so to speak. But
NHL.com has it listed as TBD.
Yeah, but I mean, Friday. It's just been complete physical brutality between
Piss both and Vinegar.
Yeah. The one story, sadly, has been the refereeing, where it was game
atrocious.
Guys are getting interference calls for finishing a check or hitting someone too hard. Like, it's been ticky-tacky, where, again, it's like you want these games to be authentic, where you want them to be 5-on-5, or unless it's like a blatant penalty, like the refs need to kind of quote-unquote swallow the whistle and let the boys play, as they say. So it's sad that, again, officiating has to be a storyline in any game, let alone the playoffs, but it's been one of the storylines that's been throughout the series. But I mean, other than that, it's been like every team has just been kind of fighting for every single inch on the ice and every single inch in front of the net and every shot and every hit and every everything has been just, again, just fought tooth and nail. And it's been gritty, physical, just brutal hockey. And, you know, these teams are just going to beat each other up until one of them comes out the other end.
And Jake Ottinger, it's been phenomenal in net for Dallas. And Gustafson's been okay for Minnesota, and Fleury was not good. The one chance he got for the Minnesota Wild. I picked Dallas to win this series in six, I believe. And I'm on track for that to go that route. So been just how I thought it was going to go. Not really smart by Marcus Foligno for calling out the refs the way he did. They typically don't like to be called out that publicly in the media. So I can't really say that I'm surprised that he's been getting a lot of bullshit calls made against him, because the refs are now taking it out on him. They're supposed to be, you know, not biased and objective and following the rule book, and they're kind of really not. And the NHL has had a problem with the refereeing for years. Like, they're just utter horse shit. But not a lot of refs are coming up in the pipeline, because referees are getting harder and harder to find.
Yeah.
So you can't really get good ones if people want to be refs. But besides that, this has been a great series to watch when I have watched it for moments. And, you know, I just think Dallas has that more higher elite level talent that's showing up versus Minnesota, who really just, in my eyes, has Boldy and Kaprizov for elite talent. You know, Dallas has got more of it. And the biggest part of it is a net with Ottinger. The dude's been unreal. And Dallas is set to get one more victory and move on.
Definitely. And then, obviously, again, another team. Well, two more teams in the West, sorry, looking for one more win to close out their series here. Our next one, the second to last one we have to talk about this week, the Vegas Golden Knights leading the Winnipeg Jets 3-1 in their series, with Game 5 being tomorrow night on ESPN2 at 10 o'clock. One of the late games, obviously, because it is out west. But, again, I mean, Vegas, I would say...
They're running Winnipeg show right now.
What's up?
They're running Winnipeg show right now.
Yeah, I mean... It's pretty much how it's been. I mean, I think the brightest spot for Winnipeg has been Connor Hellebuck. But, you know, other than that, Vegas has kind of been firing on all cylinders. And they got a big OT win the other day in Winnipeg. I almost said Vancouver. I don't know why. In Winnipeg. And, you know, they look to close out the series here tomorrow night in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I picked Winnipeg, I think, to win in six or seven games. And I gave their goaltending... And the reason why, and Connor Hellebuck, but Laurent Brossoit, who actually used to back up Connor Hellebuyck, and at the beginning of the year found himself in the American Hockey League with the Silver, with the Henderson Silver Knights, Vegas's yep. minor league club. He stepped in, and even to the chants of the Winnipeg faithful saying you're a backup, he has been the better goalie. And Winnipeg, Las Vegas. There we go. While they have a questionable organization from how they run things, they do have a lot more elite talent, and it's showing on paper and it's showing on the ice. So, the one way Winnipeg was going to win this series or come back or even make it a series yet again is if Connor Hellebuyck shuts the door. I feel like he's done all that he can do. He just needs to get some help and some scoring from his forwards. But with missing Mark Scheifele now due to injury, that's a big loss, and I don't know if they can get it done. I think I'm going to have to take an L on my first-round prediction here with this series, but it looks like Vegas is going to advance, and Winnipeg's going to go home early. And Winnipeg has a lot of looking in the mirror to do. I think they really need to blow – I mean, that team, I think they need to blow it up. It's known they all don't really like each other, and they're getting older. You know, they've got some good assets now where if they were to break it down and rebuild, they could recoup some nice return and really maybe adjust the rebuild to be a quicker start than most. But I really don't see the Winnipeg Jets doing anything anytime soon unless Connor Hellebuyck wakes up and they get some timely scoring, which is not happening for them.
Yeah, but that's all I was going to say. Moving on to our last series here in the West and the last one for tonight, we have the Edmonton Oilers leading the LA Kings 3-2 in the series with Game 6 again, TBD, but is currently listed as Saturday at noon. Edmonton has had some trouble here. The LA Kings are no slouch, obviously, and they've kind of been not really a surprise, but kind of a surprise at the same time this season. But they do have, like you said earlier before, Dave, they do have some good young talent that's been on their team the past couple of years here, along with still a few veterans that can kind of get the job done. But the big controversy here was that game, I believe it was game 4?
Yes.
In L.A. with the Gabe Vilardi high stick controversy in overtime.
That was game 3.
That was game 3, you're right. These Western games have been a hell of a time to pay attention to. I think it's been a little bit surprising how quiet Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have been.
McDavid has 8 points in the series.
I don't know. I think I saw at one point that they don't have any points 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think it's all coming on the power play, but he still has 8 points. It's just like I was talking about this last night with Brenna as we were watching game 5 of that series. And I was like, oh, haven't really heard McDavid at all, really, or Draisaitl. And then like ESPN, like literally, oh, Connor McDavid has 8 points in this series, 2 yeah. goals and 6 assists. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I was being led to think that he hasn't done anything. And I was like, oh, man, that sounds like they're in big trouble. And then you just told me he has 8 points. But again, I don't think they have anything, either of them have any points. It could have changed in the time that I heard it, but I don't think either of them have 5-on-5 points in this series.
They don't have anything that's looked like oh, that yeah, that's a McDavid or Draisaitl play. They've all been like playing second fiddle almost. Mm-hmm. For the Edmonton Oilers, the player who's really standing out for them is Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
Like, dude is just scoring goals.
Yep. But no, I mean, I think, again, this is a series that we said could go. It's obviously going 6 games. It could easily go 7. And it's been, again, just good, fun hockey to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a series where L.A. went up 2-1 in the series off that controversial high stick by Gabe Vilardi, which was a high stick. The referees should have blown that play dead. Edmonton got job there in game 3. And then you thought that was going to shake them up because game 4, they're down 3-0 after the first period in game 4 to the LA Kings. And I was like, oh boy. And they stormed back. They won game 4, I believe 4-3. And then last night, they just kicked the shit out of LA. Like, LA wasn't even in the game, really, ever. And now they're up 3-2 in the series. And ever since, I feel like LA over-celebrated and got way too cocky going up 3-0 early in game three. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, they've been the inferior team. Like, Edmonton's been skating circles around them. Zach Hyman scoring goals left and right off his face last night. We're talking about a great free agent signing there by their general manager and the team. But LA just has – they have to wake up. If they keep on playing the way they played their last five periods of hockey, they're going to be packing up their hockey gear come after game six. So – see if Edmonton can get it done. I would love for this to go seven because I called for it to go seven. And I did pick the Oilers to win it. But it would be nice to see whether it's in game six or in game seven, you see a Connor McDavid early on Draisaitl show. I mean, it's great that Edmonton is winning without them. It's showing their depth, which is something I thought they were lacking. Mm-hmm. But Zach Hyman, Matthias Ekholm, Evan Bouchard and Evander Kane had just been really, really good. And so, and frankly, Stuart Skinner and Net has gotten the job done.
Mm-hmm. So,
this has been another series where when I've made myself try and stay up and watch, I've tried to watch this series because it's been really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, that wraps it up, obviously, for this week's update. By this time next week, we'll probably be in the midst of the second round, the beginning of it, I would imagine.
I would think by next Wednesday we'll be in the second round. Yeah, at least probably some game ones.
Yeah, a lot of questions about tonight will be answered or not answered with teams that move on or don't move on. But just, again, one more live scoring update here at 8:57 on Wednesday night. The Panthers are actually leading the Boston Bruins.
Boo.
In the second intermission of game five. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, there's still obviously one more period to go, and we won't be with you guys here listening until next week. So even if the Florida Panthers do pull out this win, they still could obviously lose the series. But, Dave, just one order of business quick here for around the league before we do end things for tonight. It was announced earlier today, that the NHL will return to Europe next season for the Global Series. It'll be going back to Stockholm, Sweden at Avicii Arena with the Detroit Red Wings, Minnesota Wild, Ottawa Senators, and Toronto Maple Leafs playing a four-day round-robin set of regular season games. The Red Wings will play the Senators on Thursday, November 16th. And then take on the Maple Leafs on Friday the 17th, with the Wild playing the Senators on Saturday the 18th, and the series will wrap up with the Wild playing the Maple Leafs on Sunday, November 19th. The series will also include a global fan tour and viewing parties, coaching and officiating clinics, and a concert and business summit. This upcoming NHL Global Series is promoted, no free ads there, so I'm not going to tell you who they're promoted by. Of the 38 NHL regular season games played outside of North America, 32 of them have been played in Europe and 12 of them have been in Stockholm. This next global series in Sweden will mark the 10th season the league has gone to Europe for regular season games. These games reward the legions of loyal and passionate fans in Europe that enjoy NHL games, available via international broadcast and media partners, including Nova, MySports, Sky Sports, Pro Sieben, Viaplay, and YLE. I have no idea what any of those are, but I guess they're all the European networks.
Yeah,
but
they're European. Sky Sports, I'm pretty sure, is an English.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
The NHL last played in Stockholm in November of 2019 when the Buffalo Sabres and Tampa Bay Lightning played two games there. This is also the second international trip for the Wild, as they opened the 2010-2011 regular season with a two-game series against the Carolina Hurricanes in Helsinki, Finland, as part of the 2010 CompuWare NHL Premier and NHL Faceoff. This is the third trip for the Senators, who played the Colorado Avalanche there twice as part of the 2017 Global Series. They also began their 2008-2009 season there as part of the Bridgestone NHL Premier 2008, playing two games against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then both for the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs. It's the second trip to Stockholm for each of those teams. So, you know, I mean, it's just, it's something where each of these teams have local guys on them. So it'll be nice. Obviously, they get to go home or be close to home and, you know, have friends and family come and watch them play live as opposed to having to travel overseas to watch them in North America. And, you know, this is just one of those good things to grow the game and just, you know, as a fan, just to kind of see a different setting for the NHL.
Yeah, it's a good way to reward European fans, especially those hockey craze fans in Sweden. It's one of the best hockey countries in the world. So it's something that you love to see. And I'm pretty sure besides going to Sweden, isn't the NHL going to Australia as well next year?
Yeah, I believe they're going to...
With LA and Phoenix.
I think it's Melbourne and or Brisbane. I'm not sure.
Because there is the Australian Hockey League, which is technically a professional hockey league in Australia. But
the other AHL.
I've heard it. I think it's the AIHL, I think. But I have heard from some other friends of mine that are kind of in the know with international hockey. Apparently, it's a glorified A-level men's league.
Oh, jeez.
But I could be wrong. Hey, it'd be cool to be like go over to Australia and say, oh, I'm a professional hockey player. Worst places to be, right?
Yeah. So the Coyotes and the Kings will play in Australia in Melbourne in September. The first ever NHL games in the Southern Hemisphere, fun fact. And it'll be preseason games with the Kings and the Coyotes played on Saturday, September 23rd and Sunday, September 24th at Rod Laver Arena. The first foray, the NHL's first foray into the Southern Hemisphere, but not the first international trip for either the Kings or the Coyotes. The Kings most recently played two preseason games in China back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy days back then. And then LA has also played preseason games in Austria and Germany, as well as regular season games in England, Germany, and Sweden. In 2010, Arizona played one preseason game in Latvia and two regular season games in Czechia. This is new territory, literally, for the NHL, as they've never been to the Southern Hemisphere or let alone Australia. So this will be pretty interesting to watch. But, again, it's just another part of the global series and the NHL just continuing to branch out internationally.
You love to see it.
Yeah, grow the game, as they say.
Yes, indeed.
So, but Dave, with that, the Phillies are actually down only by one run now in the top of the eighth.
Don't call it a comeback.
We could see, we'll see if they can get the job done here. But, you know, other than that, I think our job here is done for the week, as we've given everyone their updates for the Stanley Cup playoffs. There are updates for the Global Series and all the pertinent information that we can for this week.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So before we call it quits for this week, this is my weekly PSA to listen to our good friends and affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies. If you like our podcast, you'll like theirs, so go do it. With that being said, Mash and I will be back for your lovely ears, listening pleasures next week. So everyone, keep on enjoying your playoff hockey. Stay safe. Enjoy the spring weather that's transitioning to getting warmer for us nicely here and here every day. But with that, everyone, talk to you later. Good night. Good hockey.